My name is Adam Abramowitz, and this is my story. My name is Adam Charles Abramowitz, and this is my story. And are we rolling?
Do you have a middle name?
Charles.
Charles? Adam Charles.
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 A.K.A. A.Z., A.K.A. the Big Goofy, A.K.A. Corn. I went a whole month at Jew Camp. Everyone thought my name was Corn. No one ever knew my actual name. There was another kid named Adam, and I was confused because sometimes people would yell it, but they weren't talking about me because my name was Corn to everybody.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and the 12 steps. Produced, hosted, and posted by people in recovery who've been given strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Are we rolling now?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Adam Abramowitz, and I am a heroin addict. Pretty much my whole life, I was happy. No real issues growing up. My father had been an NFL player, and my mom was an interior decorator. And as a kid, I was pretty much at her hip all day, going to camp, doing afternoon stuff with kids. Really nothing to really talk about until I went to college. My whole life I had wanted to be an athlete, and I ended up earning a scholarship to play football. And once I got to university, I didn't have any idea of what I wanted to do or who I wanted to be or even what I was interested in, and I began exploring and experimenting with drugs and alcohol. From the ages of 18 to 25, I was in and out of treatment centers. I was out of college. I was removed from the team and then brought back on the team. I'd entered a state of psychosis and left the team. I started going to treatment centers to figure out what was wrong with me. And it wasn't until I was 25 that I finally used for the last time. And ever since then, my life has been about trying to recognize what it is I'm afraid of and moving towards that. As a heroin addict, I became addicted to the rush. I was addicted to feeling fully alive. And I felt that way through chemicals induced in the substances that I used. I found that I wasn't able to really live because I didn't know who I was. And I used drugs and alcohol to escape my own insecurities, my own misunderstandings, my own confusion about what it meant to be alive. And it was in recovery that I started to begin to alleviate myself of the perspectives and the worldviews that I had held up until that point, and I began to discover who I actually am. And it was through working a program of recovery that gave me tools and gave me a process to disperse or alleviate myself of the narratives and the experiences and the memories that I had held that in my mind were defining me as an addict or an alcoholic. And through working through those things with a sponsor and with a network of people around me in recovery, I begin to tap into and discover the things that I truly enjoyed and the things that I loved that made me want to wake up and participate in life on a daily basis. Things that even to this day make me excited about what's possible. And if it weren't for the pain that I'd experienced trying to figure out on my own, I wouldn't have ever had the willingness to listen to someone else and potentially be guided into a way of living that not only benefits my heart and my soul, but the people around me. And for me, that's the point. That's what I want to continue doing, is making sense of who I am so I can help whoever may be struggling with what we're led to believe we're meant to do. You know, like I don't know if I could talk to myself when I was in college, you know, waking up for workouts, sometimes going to classes, sometimes not going to classes, if I could have advised myself in any way. I would have told myself to really try to figure out what makes you feel alive you know. It wasn't enough for me to wait for weekends to get on a football field. I need to be doing something every day that makes me feel excited about being here, or at least scary enough to make me feel like I'm making progress. And I find that in the arts, so.
Yeah. What about the arts? What do you do as an art?
Anything that gets my blood racing, anything that gets my heart pumping, knowing that I'm being filmed or communicating and that it may be seen or heard by someone else, knowing that I don't get to decide how somebody views me, I don't get to decide if it helps or hurts, that I just get to be myself in a way that, public, honestly. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, whether it's rapping on a stage or presenting in front of a tech conference or speaking in front of a meeting, it's just throwing myself into those situations with nothing more than just whatever the moment wants to be. And I always feel like I learned something. So it's selfish in the sense that I'm learning more about myself as I do artistic things, and selfless in the sense that none of this stuff really matters because it's not that it doesn't matter, it just, in the sense that I know that it's for something positive.
Something bigger than you.
Something bigger than me, yeah. That I can hopefully use my experience and myself as a means to show someone who felt the way I did that it's possible to live, live, realize, and participate in the dreams that we have. Because when I got sober, I didn't think it was possible. All I wanted to do was just not wake up and need something to feel okay. I never imagined, you know, first coming into sobriety and recovery that I'd do hip hop, or I'd perform on stage, or I'd develop and design an app or a social network. And none of those things were even on my mind. All it was how do I not use today? And in the process of learning how to not use today, I learned about principles of honesty, integrity, authenticity, transparency, connection. I've learned how to trust people. I learned how to trust myself. And all that stuff I learned in recovery, I just was like, let's apply this outside these meetings and see what happens. And it's just, everything happened on its own. I never thought it would be possible to do what I do today. And it was only because I had a willingness to not use. I guess I'd had enough. I had enough pain in my life. Because it was all brought upon by myself. I was the one who put the needle in my arm. I was the one who gave excuses to my coaches. I was the one who gave excuses to my friends. I was the one who stole. I was the one who, you know, I did all the fuck shit. So I really had no one to blame but myself. So it was like when it finally came down to it and I woke up and realized I realized I was pretty much useless, and I was a negative influence on everyone in my life, and I just was done. I was ashamed of who I was, and I decided I couldn't do it anymore. And once that decision was made, I found a whole bunch of people who had made that decision already and had learned how to live and really thrive after deciding to do life differently. And that's what brought me here.
Yeah, so if you have one kind of piece of advice or something, you know, that your story gives what kind of advice to somebody, you know, like what can you say to someone who's struggling still? And if they were to look at your story, what could they pull out of that to go, okay, I can learn from this. This is what I learned from Adam and his pain and his experience. What's the primary thing they get out of that?
No one's gonna do it for you. The scariest thing to pick up the phone or to share in a meeting, or to tell somebody how you're actually thinking and feeling that thing, do that. That's still what I do every day. I did it yesterday. Yesterday was a tough day for me. Today is great because yesterday I'm decided to do something about it. And for me, instant pleasure, instant gratification, instant distraction, those things are my purview. So I have to do the opposite of that every day. I got to do the things I don't want to do, and I got to find what scares me and move towards that.
Or like you said, you weren't into sports, but I think you were in arts. Does that have to do anything with you being bored or just trying to find yourself in sports? Or like, how did that
I think it had to do with not knowing what I didn't know. So like, all I had known was like kind of sports. None of my family members were musicians or actors or writers. So I didn't know any of that stuff. All I knew was that I got a rush from performing on a field. Like, I was excited to be in front of people and know like the spotlight was on, and if I make a mistake, I wanted to win for the team, you know, I wanted to be a team player in that aspect. But I didn't know that my earliest memory was listening to Michael Jackson's Thriller. And to me, that was magic. Like, I didn't understand how music could even be a thing. And then video games and television shows, all those things I loved so much, but I never felt like I could be one of those people because I didn't know what those people were. To me, they just, all those things, music, art, television, just kind of were there because it's, who knows why they were there. So I only had with what I knew. And so doing athletics, doing sports, you know, our parents being our own personal gods to an extent, I had experience around me that knew athletics. And I had experience around me that was willing to let me do what I wanted. But as a kid, learning about the world, I didn't really know what I wanted. Honestly, and today, it kind of remains the same. It's my curiosity, I think, to find out what I'm curious about and move towards that. But you know, you get to school and all of a sudden, you know, going to college, like I think I have to go to college. I think I have to, you know, do all these things. You know, sometimes it's tough.
Yeah.
What did the curiosity led to the drugs? Or, I mean, like, I wanted to know, like, what led to you becoming wanting to do more of the drugs, or how it started?
That's a good question. I was 15, I drank for the first time. And I remember thinking, oh, now I can hang out with all these other people that drink. It opened up my social world in high school. And then from there I tried weed and I was like, okay, now I can understand all these weird weed kids, because I always thought they were too cool for school. But then I smoked weed and was like, oh my God, everything's weird. So I could understand them. So I think a lot of it was me wanting to understand why we did what we did as kids, I guess. And then once I got to college, I was on scholarship, so I wasn't allowed to smoke weed anymore. Life, it was tough. I didn't like going to workouts every day. I didn't like having to be in class every day. I didn't know what I even wanted to be or do in college. I just knew I could play football and people liked it that I could play football. And so I did that. But if I wasn't doing that, I was more interested in exploring or getting high, really. I was just wanted to be high. I felt like I'd earned it. I felt like I deserved it. And I felt like I could do it and not have to worry about anything. And then I became addicted.
And then I have another question. So yeah. Thank you for that.
Sure.
So then today, what are you doing that helps you to be on the right track of being in a sober mind? Or I know you talked about it before, but like, do you go to meetings every day or something like that? So it's encouraging to others.
Yeah, I got 6 years sober yesterday, and it feels like I'm just starting. Like, I'm talking to my sponsor every day, or at least reaching out to him every day. I'm talking to people on group chat. I'm going to a meeting every day because it feels like I just need to get involved again. Was that the question? What am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm calling my sponsor, I'm going to meetings, and I'm calling people on the phone to talk about my feelings every day. Yeah. And it feels weird. It's like, you know, at first for me, it was really weird. I remember I'd go to sleep at night and be like, did I really just talk about my feelings all day? Like, what? Who am I? But now I've realized, like, it's actually alleviating myself of the feelings, and it's helping other people. Like, I call my friends, I call Christian, I call Stefan, and I tell them, like, man, I'm sad today. Like, I don't know why I want to run from everyone and everything, but I just want to, I'm scared and I'm sad. And then after 30 minutes, I don't feel that way anymore. And my buddies are thanking me for calling them because they're realizing, like, oh, I've been there before and I can help, you know? And I think that's what we're all here for. Like, why we're doing all this stuff is we want to be able to help somebody who wants to get better. Like, I want to continue to get better. So that's why I do all those things. For freedom. For William Wallace.
Nice.